until somebody calls and pledges some money so that our station does not have to go off the air.
Why should people support CITR? Lots of unique music, independent news, and arts programming that isn't heard anywhere else but here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Call 604-822-8648 to pledge your support.
I mean, why should I bother to play records for you if you're not even willing to call up and pledge a couple of dollars? A couple of dollars. It's not that much money. We've been playing what you want, but we have to have your money. We can't make it without you. We played Margot Hemingway's new album. We debuted it, premiered it on this station. We're the only station in the whole tri-state area to play the Fish Cheer all the way through. We play a lot of old stuff. We play a lot of Cher stuff before she sold out. We play a lot of crap, but that's what you want, you know?
Call 604-822-8648 to pledge your support.
Okay, I'm not playing any more music for anybody, and that includes myself, until somebody calls and pledges some money so that our station does not have to go off the air.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Your voice, your frequency. Programming at CITR is controlled by those who produce it and those who listen to it. Vancouver has the highest concentration of corporate ownership in media in North America. It is essential that CITR be your alternative voice in this environment.
Where the hell are you? Let's get some phone calls.
To pledge your support, phone 604-822-8648. CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
What about you people in labor? Come on, every Friday night we've been sponsoring a wobbly hour. We've been having old weird wobbly guys who were at the IWW back in the 20s and stuff. Let's back us up. We're in the same boat. 555-2150. It's us against the world. Let's go. Let's beat the world tonight. Come on, sheet metal people. Where are you? Okay, St. Mark's for girls. I'll give a kiss to every girl from St. Mark's that calls, pledges some money. Come on.
To pledge your support, phone 604-822-8648. CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Okay, I'm not playing any more music for anybody, and that includes myself, until somebody calls and pledges some money so that our station does not have to go off the air.
The unique sounds of CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver are possible only through your continued support.
Because the kids listen to the radio and respect the radio. Now, why don't you show a little bit of respect? Give me a phone call. Call up! Give a couple of bucks. Do you want to hear radio again? You know, what if you woke up some morning and there was no radio? It sounds like the beginning of a short story, you know, but 1984 isn't that far away.
The unique sounds of CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver are possible only through your continued support. Imagine life without CITR. Vancouver would lose an essential source of independent views, independent news, diverse music, and spoken word programming. No one else in the city plays the music that we play. Marginalized communities and people fighting for social change would lose a major voice in the community.
Call up! Give a couple of bucks. Do you want to hear radio again?
Support CITR today. Phone 604-822-8648 and pledge your support. 604-822-8648.
Hi, this is Burt Reynolds. You listen to Wiener's Barbecue, and they're not giving me a damn thing for this.
Television, a true friend when one is feeling sick. Welcome to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, every Tuesday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. And of course, this is our fun drive, spectacular couple weeks here at CITR. We'll get into a lot of that as we get on with the show. 822-8648. 822-8648 is the number. Going to get you all up to date on what's going on with UBC Sports and among other things here today. We're going to have Vern Knopp from the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team assistant coach with us at about 10 to 5. Milan Dragicevic, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team, will be with us at about 5:15. And Doug Reimer from the now 8-0. They got a perfect record He's the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. He'll be with us at 5:40. Also tell you what's going on with UBC women's basketball, UBC men's volleyball. And to start off the show today, we're not going to be talking necessarily UBC sports, because going on Saturday at 9 o'clock, the sad thing is Dan Elliott from Shaw TV with us. Dan, it's been a bit of a while now since UBC's been in this game. The Vanier Cup will be going on Saturday in Quebec City. Dan, once upon a time, UBC was, you know, a contender for this game, and you were actually on that UBC team back in the late 90s heyday, hey?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Let's see, it was 12 years ago Sunday when we won back in 1997. So it's been, that's probably about the last, well, maybe the next year, but it's been probably been about 11 years since UBC has been a true contender.
There you go. Well, yeah, the year after the Vanier Cup win.
Yeah, no, you're right, exactly, yeah. Year after as well. But, so let's say the last 10 years, they've been in a bit of a free fall.
And now we've got a little open season, Dan. I want to touch on that at the end of the interview here. Coaching changes coming.
Absolutely.
At UBC. Coaching changes. Dan, let's get into the Vanier Cup. We'll get into UBC coaching in a minute, though. Saturday in Laval, and poor Laval. I don't know if we're supposed to feel sorry for them, though, Dan, but a bit of a burn on them. This is a team that's been in five Vanier Cups since 1999. They get to host the Vanier Cup this year, and what happens in the Mitchell Bowl final, hosting Queens? They lose 33-30. They've been ranked number one in the nation, 47 of the last 50 polls. Laval, who's hosting the Vanier Cup, Dan, they're not playing in the game.
Yeah, well, it's just, because as you said, you know, they finally get to host the big game, and everybody expecting that they would be there, unfortunately upset. And full credit to Queens, they played outstanding. It was an unbelievable game. Laval made it interesting down the stretch after being down a bit there late in the fourth quarter. But hey, that's why we play these games. And you know what? It's nice to see somebody else there. Laval's been so good for so long that it's, as you said, 47 of 50 weeks is the number one team. It's almost like you expect them there. So I'm happy that another team is there, maybe showing that somebody else is trying to step up to the level that Laval has created for everybody to chase, which is great.
Well, look, Queens is going to be playing Calgary. Calgary, those of us that follow the Canada West, we are familiar with this team. But tell us about Queens. I mean, you know, Dan, those are some outstanding playoff games. I really got into that Western Queens game a couple weeks ago. I mean, that was a beauty.
Yeah. Well, you're absolutely right. And it starts with their quarterback, Danny Branigan, a guy who, you know, he's a fifth-year starter who's, you know, throwing for over 330 yards a game. You know, he's had 400-plus in the playoffs. So these guys love to move the ball downfield, and they are exciting to watch. And it should be it's going to be an offensive duel in the Vanier Cup, which should be great for viewing audiences.
And the Calgary Dinos team, this is a team, Dan, you got to see throughout the season. Of course, you covered the Canada West. Eric Glavik, I mean, that was the big story here. Eric Glavik, the former Het Creighton winner for St. Mary's. And Blake Neal, the former two-time Vanier Cup winning coach of St. Mary's, go into St. Mary's in the UTEC championship game, and Calgary blows out St. Mary's. The former coach and the former quarterback, among others, Calgary beat St. Mary's 38-14, Dan.
Yeah, and they ran all over them. They ran for nearly 500 yards on the ground. Absolutely sickening. I mean, the fact of the matter is they averaged nearly 300 a game during the regular season, but it actually was a game where Glavich did, you know, he wasn't quite as prominent in the Canada West final. He had over 550 yards of total offense just himself, but in the UTEC Bowl, it was the running game with Matt Walter at 200-plus yards. Stephen Labala had 100-plus, so that just showed the fact that Calgary's got so many weapons. It doesn't always have to be Eric Glavich, but that guy is just an unbelievable athlete, 6'6", 210, physical specimen, can run like the wind. He's got a great arm, and he's got all the attributes that you'd want in a quarterback, and he is fun to watch.
Well, tell us about this Eric Glavich. He's, of course, nominated for the Het Creighton, one of four nominations. And, you know, of course, the big topic, one of the big topics with CIS quarterbacks is the last time a CIS quarterback has actually played in the CFL. Mm-hmm. Eric Glavich, is there a chance for that to happen? But if that doesn't happen, is this a guy, I mean, he's got the height, receiver, yeah, defensive back, that a possibility, or who knows?
Well, that's the thing. Everybody looks at him in terms of his physical frame, and they'll go, you know what, he's an easy transition to an inside receiver because he's 6'6", you know, 210, as I said. But you know what? The thing about the Canadian game and going to the CFL is these guys just need to be given an opportunity. The guy is an unbelievable athlete. He's got all the physical tools. Now it's just a matter of learning the game at the professional level. And I believe that if he were given an opportunity to be a third or fourth string quarterback in one of the eight CFL franchises for a couple of years, he definitely could be a guy who could come in and help out your team in a career in the CFL.
Het Creighton, Dan, what do you think?
Well, I'm partial to the Western guys. And the fact that I saw, of course, Glavich all year long. So, but you got the defending champ in this, the last year's winner, Gruel from Laval as well. So there's a lot of talent out there, but I got to clarify for me. Is it false?
We got Benoit Drew. How do you pronounce it?
Benoit Gruel.
And you got Mount Allison, kick returner, wide receiver,
yeah,
Gary
not
Ross.
Him.
And
no.
Then the Western QB who,
yeah,
I mean,
Michael Falls.
I fell in love with that guy on that last pass he threw.
I have a feeling it will be him. He will get the award. I mean, he's a guy who was throwing for 330 yards a game, all kinds of huge numbers that he was putting up. Took his team to the Ontario final, unfortunately losing a heartbreaking game to Queens. But I think in my mind, I'd like to see it being Glavich, but I believe it will be Falls.
And Eric Glavich, sorry, Dan, of course, trying to become the first player to ever win the Het Creighton with two different schools. That's pretty cool, eh?
That would be great. I mean, everybody, he was coming in. The thing about him is that, you know, he won it in 2007, got hurt in the national semifinal, blew his knee, didn't play in the Vanier Cup because of it. And then the next year, he basically played one quarter, hurt his knee again, and he was sitting out and decided, you know what, I need a change, transfer to Calgary. And not everybody was quite sure as whether or not how he would fit in or even if he would, but he just came in and it was just exactly what they were looking for. Well, let me just say that every university is looking for a quarterback like this, but he was great in that offense. Of course, Blake Neal knowing all too well his capabilities, and he is just, like I said, he is so athletic and so fun to watch.
And back to the Vanier Cup, Dan.
Yep.
Laval hosting it. You like the move to Laval? I mean, I watched the playoff games there. It's going to be a much better atmosphere to watch, at least, than the Sky Dome. I'll say that.
I love the fact that they moved out of the Sky Dome. I mean, I played in the Sky Dome when we were in the Vanier Cup, but you know what? I think we were during the record low attendance. There's only 8,000 people. Why not go to the football crazy atmospheres, the small college towns and stuff like that? I mean, we know that Laval over the last couple of years has had some unbelievable crowds. I mean, they get 18,000 fans there. But places like there and Saskatchewan and even Queens and Richardson Stadium there, they had a great crowd. Or in London, Ontario, Western. I mean, obviously the biggest concern at that point in time, concerning it's late November, is always the weather. But I'm a big fan of moving the event around and going to different venues because I think the idea of Rogers Center, Sky Dome, whatever you want to call it, has lost its luster. Yeah, it's nice to play indoors, but get it out to where it belongs, to the roots of the game and at the schools across the country.
And, Dan, I'll say this. Out of all the CFL stadiums, the worst one to watch a game on TV, at least, is the Sky Dome, is where the Argonauts play.
Yeah, and no doubt about it. It's just, you know, it's just, there's nothing, it's just something about it. It's just not that exciting. And plus, even if you get 20,000 fans in there, it still doesn't look full. So, you know, you want to put it in a bigger venue. I mean, obviously, was it Ivor Wynn a couple of times? I like that. It looked pretty good there in Hamilton because McMaster has a good following. I mean, it's been in Saskatoon at Griffith Stadium. I mean, you know, I'd even like to see it at Regina at Mosaic Stadium. I'd like to see how that would fly there. So I think there's a lot of other opportunities to move it around. And in terms of the weather, guys, they know how to deal with it at this point in time. It's just part of the game.
Especially in Canada, yeah, across
exactly.
the country. Vanier Cup, 9 a.m. on Saturday on the West Coast. Who do you like, Dan, Calgary or Queens?
Well, I'll stick with the West, and I'm going to say the Calgary Dinos are going to pull out the victory and win their first Vanier since 1995, the last time they won.
There you go. And, Dan, we're going to just jump right into UBC, your old alumni.
You bet.
Your old alumni. As you mentioned, 1997, the last time UBC played or won the Vanier Cup. We both agree they haven't been contenders for the Vanier Cup since 1998. And, you know, Dan, talking to the people at UBC, one thing they say is they're going to try to get somebody who's really going to bring the alumni back to UBC. And they even mentioned to me the late 90s UBC athletes. You fall into that category. Yes, you're reporting. Yes, you're a commentator. But you fall into that late 90s group. What has happened in the last 10 years with regards to the UBC alumni and how you guys are involved, really?
Well, it just kind of happened over the last number of years. It seems like there's been a bit of a detachment between the alumni and the program. There's so many great sports programs at UBC that do such a good job with their alumni. And for whatever reason, the football team, we stink at it. We stink at having events or doing things. And considering we have the most athletes of all the alumni, you figure we'd be a lot better. But for whatever reason, that's been the case. And, maybe it's because there haven't been any alumni within the coaching staff, within the main guys over the last couple of years is the reason. But, I think it was time for a change, though, for them. I mean, Ted Gavai did a decent job, but I think it was time to go in a new direction, and I'll be interested to see who they bring in.
Basically, the way we're hearing it, Dan, is they are going to have an announcement. They hope by Christmas, they're going to be interviewing apparently three or four candidates in the middle of December. Dino Jeremia, of course, will be one of those guys, we assume, who will be interviewed. Their assistant coach now, he's their current acting head coach. The name I want to throw at you, we hear alumni, and Bob Phillip has never been a guy afraid to hire a guy who doesn't have CIS head coaching experience. He's actually never hired a coach from another school who was currently a head coach in the CIS. So the name that's sort of floating around, and can you tell me anything or your thoughts, your former quarterback when you guys won the Vanier Cup, current SFU offensive coordinator Sean Olson. You think Sean is a realistic candidate here?
I think he's a bum. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. No, I absolutely do think he is a realistic candidate for the job. The thing about Sean is that he lives, sleeps, eats football. This is what he's done for the last, it seems like 15 years. Having played with him at UBC for 3 years, I actually used to live with him too. He's a former roommate of mine, so I know him very well. And this is a guy who played at UBC until 2000, and then he went to Europe, played in Austria for another 5 years, and then coached there for a couple of years as well. Now has been the offensive coordinator at SFU for 3 years. He is a hardworking guy, a guy who would come in and I believe would do a great job. He relates well to the young athletes, university age athletes. And again, you're talking about a guy who's alum. Well, what better than the quarterback that led us to our last Vanier Cup than Sean Olson to come in and take over the job? I know there's going to be a lot of great guys who do interview for the job, but he is definitely a worthy candidate and someone to seriously, I hope he gets a serious look for the gig.
Can you say, do you know, has he put his name into the hat?
I do know he's put his name into it. Yeah, I do know that he is, I guess, would be actively applying for it. So, I mean, that's really a no-brainer. I mean, a lot of guys want him to do that, a former alum. I know coaches that he's working with now because they just realize, the name that he has and being former UBC guy to go back and possibly coach the program would be huge. So, yeah, definitely. I'm pretty sure it would be a job that he would like. You'd have to ask him yourself, but I know that he has applied.
And just to keep it on Sean Olson, and I do mean this, is, I think back to all the football players and almost even every athlete I've seen here at UBC, I don't know if I've ever seen a better leader here at a UBC sports program as a player than Sean Olson.
Yeah, there was just something about him that made him so good with everybody else. He wasn't necessarily a rah-rah kind of guy, but he was the type of guy that you wanted to go out and play for and play with, and you didn't want to let him down. That was just the type of guy he was. He was hardworking, knowledgeable. You know, he was always on top of his game, knowing exactly what the other teams would be running. He was well prepared, and because of that, everybody else wanted to be good around him. And that's, I think that's one of the biggest keys about being a leader. And I think he's taken that now in terms of his coaching, is that he expects a lot from his players because of the type of player that he was. But the guys want to do it for him because they know how much he loves the game and how much he puts into it, and he makes it exciting. And the best part about it, he wants to win, and that's the biggest key.
Cool. Dan Elliott. Dan, thanks so much for doing this. And, you know, last thing, talking about UBC, of course, we mentioned haven't been Vanier Cup contenders since 1998, haven't won a playoff game since...
Well, you didn't say 99. They lost in Canada West Final in 99.
I'm sorry. It was 99.
That's right.
Thank you for correcting me. Just in a brief thing here, Dan, what's really gone wrong with this program in the last 10 years? Can you put your finger on it, or is it just sort of deteriorated kind of deal?
You want me to put my finger on it? A fight between two coaches 11 years ago is what happened.
No kidding. The pizza parlor battle. That was it,
yeah.
Eh? Dave Johnson, Noel Thorpe. That was it.
That was it. That was the situation there. And they never really been able to get back on the right foot. They've had, obviously, the coaches they've gone through, and Jay Prepchuk and Lou Delore and Ted Gavaya. All of them are good coaches, but I'm not sure they're all ideal head coaches at the university level. I mean, it takes a certain type of personality to be able to run a team, and you're almost not even a coach anymore. It's more admin. You're dealing with a lot of other issues, and so you need to have a guy who's great at the top, who can, you know, deal with administrative work, the school, media, stuff like that, and then you got to bring in good people around you. So I think that will be, whoever comes in, that will be the biggest key.
Awesome. Dan Elliott. Dan, thank you very much for doing this. Very much appreciated. And enjoy the Vanier Cup on Saturday.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Daryl.
Thanks, Dan. All right. That was Dan Elliott from Shaw TV. Yeah, you know, UBC Thunderbird men's football, we were wrong there. 1999. The last time they won a playoff game. This was a dominant program. 1997 Vanier Cup champions. Of course, the head coach, Casey Smith, passing away. Dave Johnson, his assistant, taking over. And it was, I think it was 1999, him and Noel Thorpe, head coach and assistant coach, get into a fight right down there in the sub building at Pi Art Squared. In this building, Dave Johnson subsequently fired over that. And since then, UBC has, I think they've won one playoff game. I think that happened just before the 1999 season. And, you know, I'm going to say it on the show right now. Head coach UBC, I would love to see Sean Olson, the former quarterback for UBC, current offensive coordinator for SFU. Here's a guy, he's got all the credentials as an assistant coach, former UBC player, former great UBC player, led him to a Vanier Cup for crying out loud, and that's my vote for the head coach of UBC Thunderbird men's football. And you talk about getting the alumni back on board. I mean, you heard Dan Elliott, he's in the media. What better guy to bring in than Sean Olson? So, you know, that's Daryl Wiener, Wiener's Barbecue, CITR pick. So it's been a rough one here for UBC Thunderbird men's football. Let's get Sean Olson in here, and let's try to turn that program around. Well, once again, sorry for the delay there, getting some pub for this, but it is our CITR Fun Drive going on right now. We do need support from you, the listener. We do this once a year. We're currently at $16,427.37. Our goal is $24,000. So yeah, just call us up, 822-8648. 822-8648. All donations are welcome. You know, if you're somebody who listens to UBC Thunderbird Athletics, the games we do on the weekend, same thing. I mean, you know, we need money for equipment and all that fun stuff. So come on, give us a call up. 822-8648, 822-8648. All donations are welcome. And there's lots of great prizes. People on the phones that are answering it will just sort of give you the word on how much you got to donate and what you'll get for it. But it's some really cool stuff. I was unable to do my show last week. It was actually a fun reason. I had the flu. I don't think I had the swine flu. But they put me on the Tamiflu, the antibiotic, and I was out all week. And, you know, knock on wood here. I hope I'm not going to get sick again. But if that was the Tamiflu, or the swine flu, I'm sorry. If that was a swine flu, I thought I had a little more than that. You know, I have Crohn's disease. I've been out with some, I'm not going to say crazy flu, but I've had some nice flus in my day. And I don't even know if that one was top five. So I don't think I had the swine flu. And I actually talked to some guy I know, and his wife had the same thing. Out for a week, little bit of barfing, small fever for a couple days. That's what I had. So here I am now. Still, energy's a little low. But, I was on the Tamiflu antibiotic. And I guess the positive was, the fun thing was, you would call people up, work, whatever you're doing here, for example. And I go, I can't come in. I'm on the Tamiflu antibiotic, and they don't want you here. There's no let's tough it out. They don't want you anywhere. My friend wouldn't even come over to drop off something. So, you know, I had that. So, I don't know. Just thought I'd say it. Lots more to get to on the show today. Once again, Fun Drive. We do this 2 weeks a year, folks. We have just under $8,000 to go to get to our goal. 822-8648. 822-8648. Give us a call up. And we do this once a year on CATR. You know, we pay for equipment. We are a student volunteer radio station. You know, we're doing this out of good deed, out of the love of the game, if you will. So give us a call up, 822-8648, and keep our station alive. That sounded cheesy. I don't like that, but help us, I should say. Come on, give us a call up, 822-8648, 822-8648. All donations are welcome. Well, coming up on the show, we're going to take a break. Vern Knopp, assistant coach from the UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team. They are off to a perfect 5-0 start on the season. We'll also update you on the UBC Thunderbird women's team. What's going on with them? Milan Dragicevic, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. He'll be with us at about 5:15. That's getting closer to 5:20 by now. Coming off of a split versus Lethbridge, that snapped a not-so-great 7-game losing streak for that team. And then at 5:45, we're going to have Doug Reimer. This team is rolling, defending CIS national champion, UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. He's their head coach. They are 8-0. And listen to this, Mark. They are currently in their 8 wins. Each match is best 3 out of 5. They are 24 sets versus 2 losses in their 8 games so far this year. That's good. And we'll update you on the men's volleyball team, which is actually having a rough season. Anyways, we are going to take a break. Hope you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm on the weekend. It was fantastic. You are listening to Wiener's Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio. Give us a call up once again, 822-8648, 822-8648. All donations are welcome. It's our funding drive time. Give us a call. We'll be back. Talk a little UBC Thunderbird men's basketball. Assistant coach Vern Knopp will be with us. And Vern's a smart guy, and I got to give him props. And we'll do it as soon as he comes on. I had Jamarcus Russell in my fantasy football pool 2 years ago. Vern told me he was going to be a bust. Oh, Vern, how you were right. How you were right. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
I mean, why should I bother to play records for you if you're not even willing to call up and pledge a couple of dollars? A couple of dollars. It's not that much money.
All right, I'm sorry. Nobody's calling now because I blew up. Now, I'm sorry. I'll play a record or something, but please, somebody call.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and our annual Fun Drive. Asking for your support if you enjoy CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver and everything the station has to offer. Independent music, independent news, independent voices, representing the unrepresented.
We play a lot of old stuff. We play a lot of Cher stuff before she sold out. We play a lot of crap, but that's what you want, you know?
Listen to somebody pleading for money. I make a fool of myself begging for money when I got more going for me than a lot of you. And you won't give me $2, you know? I got that much money. I'll match all the money pledged in the next hour. I'm getting some money when I'm 25. So if you really want to hurt me and torture me, call up right now and pledge $150, and I'll write out the check. And it won't hurt that bad because I got it. But it would hurt me enough so you get your money's worth.
Support CITR and ensure that it continues to be your voice and your frequency. 604-822-8648. To pledge your support, phone 604-822-8648. CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Call up! Give a couple of bucks. Do you want to hear radio again? You know, what if you woke up some morning and there was no radio? It sounds like the beginning of a short story, you know, but 1984 isn't that far away.
Hi, I'm Bryant Reeves of the Vancouver Grizzlies, and you're listening to CITR 101.9.
Back to Winners Barbecue on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio. Once again, it is our funding drive spectacular here at UBC, CITR, for a couple weeks. So give us a call up, 822-8648, 822-8648. All donations are welcome, 822-8648. Well, with us on the line from the perfect 5-0 UBC Thunderbird men's basketball team, assistant coach Vern Knopp. Vern, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Vern, before we get into your basketball team, we got a couple football things. I want to hit this off the top, okay?
Okay, yep.
I owe you, as we say in the Jewish religion, a mazel tov. You called something.
I did. What was that?
2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever the hell it was, you told me Jamarcus Russell would be a bust.
I did tell you that.
You told me that. Vern!
Easy call.
I had him in my pool that year. I was like, he's going to be good. Da, 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 da. I'm still looking for the next Steve Young. It wasn't Michael Vick, it wasn't him either. But
no.
It definitely wasn't Jamarcus Russell. Brad Gradkowski leading the Raiders to a win. So Jamarcus is on the bench. But he's still rich, Vern. Jamarcus is still rich.
Yeah, he's already made more money than I don't think you and I can even dream of how much money he's made. So.
But he refuses to work, too, hey? Like, you know. He does show up on time to the game.
Unless it's work. His work requires eating in the kitchen, I think he's okay. But, I've never seen a quarterback so big. I think there was way too much hype on him coming out of college. He had one great game at LSU when they won the bowl game on national TV, and he went from being a second-round or third-round pick or late first-round pick to being the number one pick overall, and... Of course, it was the Raiders that picked him, so I just I had a lot of doubts about him going into the NFL.
Yeah, and isn't it, you read reports, he's like missing late for meetings and stuff like that, isn't that what I mean?
Yeah, apparently. I mean, he's already been in the league now, three years now? Just hasn't figured it out, and that's, some guys get a lot of money up front, and they never figure it out, or they just don't want to.
And the other one is, in my fantasy pool, my keeper pool today, I've got Tom Brady, okay?
Yep.
I've got a shot. I'm 5-6, but in my division, where we play for $400, the leaders are 7-4. So I'm a couple games out. I traded for a draft pick today to a team outside my division. No big deal, but not a very high pick. I traded Brett Favre.
Oh, okay.
Did I make a mistake? I mean, what do you think here? I'm having second thoughts here.
No, I mean, if you got Tom Brady, I mean, obviously, you run the risk of losing if, you get injured. Or if he gets injured, then you kind of need Favre. But I think at this late in the year, I mean, I've always done it in the past. I've always had Peyton Manning, so once I lose him, once the bye week goes past, I usually drop whoever I have for a backup quarterback or try to trade him for a draft pick. So I think it's a good gamble at this point because, if you had the two options as good as Favre's been, you're still going to, you can't sit Tom Brady.
Well, I never play. Where I'm worried is if Favre comes back next year, he suddenly has value, you see. That could be my error.
Yeah, you still have Tom Brady. So.
I still have Tom Brady. That is true. All right, Vern, I had to go through that.
No problem.
Did you see Curb Your Enthusiasm, the season finale?
No, I didn't.
You suck.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
You
don't
suck.
Watch that show.
Okay. I had to bring that up. I'm going to try to find somebody on the show today who's seen Curb Your Enthusiasm. By the way, our funding drive, I know that was riveting. 822-8648, 822-8648. Vern, let's talk about your basketball team and what the hell almost happened on Thursday night. You know, you guys are 5-0, but, you know, I like to think of you guys, and I kind of judge you guys as a national championship contender, and you almost lost to Thompson Rivers on Thursday. You won 84-21, took a 25-15 fourth quarter run by you guys to pull this thing out. And, you know, I got to be honest, this is a Thompson Rivers team that hasn't had the best of success in CIS Canada Men's basketball, and they're currently 0-6 to start this year. Vern, how did you guys almost lose to Thompson Rivers?
I think it was really a combination of obviously our guys after a couple big wins the previous week. I think it was a bit of a letdown. And with that said, not to take anything away from Thompson's Rivers, I thought they had a very good game plan. They played a lot of 2-3 zone against us, which we hadn't seen this year at all. Although we kind of knew they'd be doing that because they have played a bunch of it and we prepared for it. But until you actually go against it, it's pretty tough. And, you know, they played, I think it was a combination of just playing poorly and them playing extremely well. And if Thompson Rivers continues to play that way like they did against us last week, and they're going to win a share of their games. You know, they've been up. They probably should have had 2 or 3 wins already by now. They were up on Calgary late in their game earlier in the year. They're up on Fraser Valley earlier in the year, and they just haven't been able, it's a team that just hasn't been able to figure out how to win yet. But for 0-6, they're a pretty talented team. They got a lot of veterans on that team too. So it was definitely a tough matchup for us.
So you're praising Thompson Rivers. I mean, you know,
They played well. They did play well. And, you know, when they got Greg Stewart and their big 7-2 guy in the middle of the zone, he changes a lot of shots. They have 3-4 legit 3-point shooters. All those guys have, you know, they just wanted to beat, you know, they got up for that game, and they gave us all that we can handle. And on the Thursday game, we played very poorly. We just, so it was kind of a combination of both. Just, you know, unfortunately, those things happen.
You know where I'm coming from there, though. That's a fair statement, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I you know what? It shocked a lot of people. I got a lot of text messages and emails from people asking what happened, and people, you know, listened to it online, and they couldn't believe themselves. But, you know, a sign of a good team is we found a way to win. We were down, I think, 15-16 going into the fourth, and I think even with 12 minutes or 4 minutes to go, we were down 12 points, and you know, we found a way to win, and you know, we just move on.
Got to ask, you had a pretty big weekend for you guys, and, you know, the big question for you guys coming into this year, you know, you have your Kyle Russells in the past, you have your Casey Archibald, you had Pasha Baines for a bit, and, of course, Chris Dick last year, and who's going to take the mantle? When you look back at it, almost no surprise now, but he sure has delivered. Your point guard, Josh White, averaging 25 points per game, 4 assists per contest. He's averaging 3 steals a game and 6 rebounds. Good thing you got this guy from Victoria as a transfer a couple of years ago, Vern. He's pretty good, hey?
Yeah, he's been great. I think really he's been underrated for several years, even when he was in Victoria. I mean, he, for the year he was in Victoria, he gave us fits. I think he averaged something like 25 a game and 6 assists and 6 rebounds against us. He was just really a matchup nightmare for us. And when we found out he had interest in coming to play for us, we were pretty excited. And I think people are really starting to figure out, if they didn't know already, how good of a player he is. We've relied on him probably too much this year, but you know, he's delivered for us at all. You know, every time we've asked him to. And those numbers are pretty impressive because I think he's just averaging around 30 minutes a game. So he's been in foul trouble a couple games like he was on Thursday against Thompson Rivers. So, yeah, those numbers really, when you put them in perspective, are pretty impressive.
Yeah, really with Josh White, you know, and of course this UBC Thunderbird men's team, Vern, you make it all the way to the national championship game, losing to Carleton. When I think back to that game, when I look at it now, I say if only Josh White didn't pick up that second foul, what was it, late in the first quarter?
Yeah.
What would have happened? I mean, looking back, you know?
Hey, we all our coaches have said that, you know, the guys that were there, even the players that were there, I think everybody knew that. It was a huge turning point in the game. I think, I believe we were up almost 9, 11, maybe 11 points when he went out. And, even this year, he's as good as Alex Murphy's played for us at times. It's just right now we're just a different team when Josh isn't on the floor.
So just Vern, if you're playing Carlton again in the final, he picks up that second quick foul, make sure Kevin Hansen keeps him in, okay?
Yeah, you know, it's something over the years, Coach Hansen, and you know, and I've always been on his side, that we've always sat that guy with when he gets two fouls and doesn't play in the first half with two fouls, just because if he gets a third, you almost have to start the second half with him on the bench. But it's something we definitely talked about last year, and especially this year, that maybe not so much earlier in the year, but if you get to a game where national tip final where you're struggling, that maybe you just you do try to suck it up and play him with two fouls. That's definitely something we've talked about.
Yeah, no, because and I know you guys talk about, we'll move on for, because Carlton, I think they had about four guys on the floor late in the first half with two fouls. So
they had two guys on the floor with two fouls, but yes, point well taken.
It was two. It was
it
two.
It didn't go unnoticed by us for sure.
There you go. Guy who's actually really stepped up for you. I mean, his points per minute is quite outstanding. This guy came in from Vancouver College a couple of years ago, highly touted recruit, and you know, didn't really get on track the first 2 years, Sir Vern, but he's really stepped up in year three. Nathan Yu, 14 points per game in 24 minutes. Is confidence thing with him? What's the story, Nathan Yu, this year?
It's 100% confidence with him. It's always come in. I think Nathan's biggest problem has been he just comes in and just hasn't been aggressive, kind of looks, you know, just to try to get other guys involved. And we've been on him from day one that he has to come in and be aggressive. And especially with this year, when he comes in, he has to be able to score for us to give us secondary scoring. And it looks like the light finally went on with Nathan, and he's coming in with a more aggressive attitude, and he's been shooting lights out for us.
And Vern, the big man, your assessment on this team, it has been a bit of a grind for this team at times. Kamar Burke, he seems like a guy, Kamar Burke, the transfer from Thompson Rivers, 7 points per game, 6 rebounds, 20 minutes per game, seems like an extremely athletic fellow, and he just sort of has to get used to the system. He'll pick it up. Brent Malish, his numbers are down. Graham Bath is playing some minutes. Balraj Baines is getting some starts, and then there's the kid Chad Posthumus. The big man, they haven't quite got on track for you guys this season, at least offensively. How are they coming along as a group?
It's slowly but surely. You know, we've all had some good signs as far as, you know, for a guy like Balraj, he's probably getting more minutes than he has in the past. In fact, he's even started, I think, three or four games for us now. Graham Bath, actually, I thought had a really good weekend after a bit of a letdown the previous week. He's the kind of guy that, you know, he just comes in and plays hard defensively, does a lot of the little things that go unnoticed, like setting good screens and sealing his man off. I think part of the reason numbers have been down is just because I think at times it's been a combination of the post players haven't wanted the ball, and at times we just haven't given them the ball and given them that opportunity to score for us. So I think we got to kind of find that happy medium. Kamar Burke and his situation, it's a guy that hasn't played competitively in 2 years, really is more of a perimeter player, and we were playing him inside. So that's something we've started to do now is he started the last couple games on the perimeter for us, where he's more comfortable because he's always played there his whole career. But he's a guy that at times, like Kyle Watson, is going to have to go, even though he's a perimeter player, he's going to have to come in and play the four for us just to give us that extra, you know, chance to play it down or inside scoring and rebounding. Because for whatever reason, it seems like in CIS, especially in Canada West, post players, they love to call fouls on post players. And again, last weekend, I think at one point we had three post players with two fouls on the bench.
And the kid, Chad Posthumus, a 6'10 kid from Winnipeg, of course, came in with all the hype. How's he doing as a true freshman, Vern? 8 minutes per game, 2 points, couple rebounds. How's this kid progressing? Because that's really the key. I'm told this kid, don't look for it this year, but how's he progressing?
It's really, I guess you could call it baby steps. He's just, right now, he's still trying to find that second, or let me even say third or fourth gear in practice right now. And I think that's really what's hurting. That's hurt his playing time because he hasn't really performed, hasn't competed hard enough in practice. But again, last weekend when he got some minutes, he had a 3-4 minute pretty good stretch where he got a couple rebounds, got a couple put back hoops, and it's going to be a long, slow process with him. But the good thing as a freshman, he's getting 8 minutes a game, and it's really going to be up to him as to how many more he can get.
This weekend, Vern, you're going to Winnipeg. You're going to Manitoba. It's awfully cold there. Have fun.
Thanks.
And, you know, Vern, I think I've told you this before. I think the schedule makers, I'm not accusing them of being on anything when they changed the Canada West rules for schedule and the playoff schedule. But, you know, it's something that somebody high on acid, ecstasy maybe would have done, you know, sort of like, hey, let's do this. I hate the schedule. Or was that bad what I said, Vern? Was that bad? I didn't accuse them of being on it. I just said it's some, you know.
Yeah, I kind of got that. But, you know, your radio show, so it's you can see what you want.
I tell you, Vern, I hate this schedule. I hate this schedule. For those that are listening, 23-game Canada West season, that's what it used to be. Now it's down to 18. Where did those five games come from? Well, for you guys, Vern, you are now playing each team in the BC Conference, the Pacific Division, one less time. There's six teams in your division. That's where those five games come from, those five other teams. You are not traveling to Victoria for the first time maybe in the history of this program. And here you are, not traveling to Victoria and traveling to Winnipeg and Manitoba for two games this weekend. I think that is absolutely horrible. Don't get me started on the playoff format, Vern. I mean, I'm sorry. They're idiots, whoever came up with this schedule. But back to the games at Winnipeg, at Manitoba. Winnipeg, a hearty 0-7. Manitoba, 2-7. Tell us about the games this weekend.
Well, really, it's about the games this weekend. Again, we can't look at a team's record. Winnipeg could have easily won two or three or four games as well, and Manitoba could have won a couple more. They've been in a lot of their games. It's really a case of us going there and just really have to worry about how we perform, worry about ourselves, just do all the things that have made us successful. They're not going to be easy pushover games. Anybody thinks that they didn't learn, that means they didn't learn their lesson last week against Thompson. It was another team that hasn't won in league, and they gave us all we could handle for two nights in a row. So it's just going to be two more tough road games. You know, we got to fly a couple time zones to get there, and it's going to be another battle. It's never easy to win on the road in Canada West. So again, we just got to go there, focus on ourselves, and compete for 40 minutes each game.
Traveling to Winnipeg for two games, Vern, not traveling to Victoria this year. Come on.
All right, I agree. The schedule really is not ideal. I think a lot of the problem is with adding all the BC teams coming in, Fraser Valley entering our league, Thompson Rivers coming into our league. It's just made for there's honestly too many teams, and they want to have you play everybody in Canada West, because a lot of the teams back east want UBC to come to their gym, and just like we love having Calgary and Saskatchewan and those teams come to our gym. I don't mind not playing the BC teams three times each. I think because when we do meet in the playoffs, I think it'll be more enjoyable games. With that said, not going to Victoria is really a big shame.
So there you have it. Way to play both sides a bit there, Vern. Way to play both sides
a bit.
Yeah,
I'm pretty good at doing that, eh?
Vern Knopp, assistant coach for UBC men's team. Last thing, Vern, your team, obviously a lot of new faces. You guys are coming along. I mean, you still got a lot of more peaking to do as a unit? It seems you do, at least.
Oh, no question. We're not even close to being where we need to be. It's still really a learning process, a growing process for so many new players that have come in. You know, Melvin Mayock kind of had his coming out party this last weekend. It's a guy that hasn't played again competitively in 3 years. Getting to know a totally different system, just like Kamar Burke. And I think the players know that, and the coaches, we definitely know that. We just have to keep building as we go, as you know, try to improve on our season this coming weekend up in Winnipeg. And then using the month of December just to, relearn stuff and to just progress, because, one of the strengths Coach Hansen's always had is that ability to start peaking come playoff time, and that's where we need to go, and we're looking forward to getting there.
Vern, as always, thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you soon. Have fun in Winnipeg. I'm gonna enjoy the not as cold. I don't like the weather here right now. I'm a sunny person, Vern, but enjoy the weather in Winnipeg. That'll be a blast.
thanks, Earl. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Vern. All right, that was Vern, assistant coach. UBC, of course, you know, I'm pretty hard on this team. I like to kind of analyze them as a national championship contender, which they are. 5-0 to start the season, but, I mean, they almost lost a 0-6 Thompson River team on the weekend. All right, folks, CITR funding drive going on. For 2 weeks, 822-8648, 822-8648. Our goal is $24,000. Give us a call up. We've got lots and lots of fun stuff to give away, and I recommend the umbrella. You spend $60, you get an umbrella, and it is a cool umbrella. It even comes with this little holder on top of the umbrella. So give us a call up at 822-8648, 822-8648. Sticking with UBC Thunderbird Sports, and the schedule, I'm going to leave it for another day, but it is just stupid, and just sticking with that topic one last time here. The playoff schedule, it used to be four teams make it in the Canada West Pacific Division. One plays four, two plays three. There's three divisions, three go to the Final Four, and a wild card team. The best second round loser goes. Okay, that's short. Now, eight teams make it. You play a crossover in the, you're guaranteed to play a team in the other division pretty much, and no rivalry. They destroyed the rivalry. So it used to be in the first round, UBC would say play SFU in the first round and then UVic in the second round, or Trinity Western, Fraser Valley in that mix, whatever. Well, now you're not guaranteed to see those teams. You used to play those teams twice in the regular season, three times in the regular season. Now you only play them once. I mean, they basically just killed the BC basketball rivalry, like the amount those teams played. And those are the funner games. Ah. Just stupid. UBC Thunderbird women's basketball. Let's talk about them. They're 4-2 on the season. The UBC Thunderbird women team also swept Thompson Rivers on the weekend. They are currently 4-2 on the year, as mentioned. They will travel also, of course, to Winnipeg and Manitoba. They're better than the men's team. The Winnipeg women are 4-3, and the Manitoba women are 3-4. Decent start to the year for the UBC Thunderbird women's basketball team. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to get into a little UBC Thunderbird men's hockey. Their head coach, Milan Dragicevic, will be with us. They are fresh off a 4-3 shootout win over Lethbridge. That snapped a 7-game losing streak for UBC. They started off the year 3-0-1. And then they went in the tank here, losing 7 straight games, but they finally got a win versus Lethbridge on Saturday night. Milan Dragicevic, the head coach, will be with us. And then at about 5:45, we're behind schedule. Doug Reimer, head coach, UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, will be with us. They are 8-0 to start the season. Okay, we're taking a break. Of course, once again, it is CITR funding drive time. Give us a call up, 822-8648, 822-8648. All donations are welcome. We are a volunteer student radio station. We've got lots of overhead here, and we need your help, you, the listener, to help us out. We only ask you once a year, and all donations are welcome. All right, we're going to take a break. When we're back, we're going to talk a little UBC Thunderbird men's hockey. Their head coach, Milan Dragicevic, will be with us. You're listening to 101.9 FM.
Okay, I'm not playing any more music for anybody, and that includes myself, until somebody calls and pledges some money so that our station does not have to go off the air.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Your voice, your frequency. Programming at CITR is controlled by those who produce it and those who listen to it. Vancouver has the highest concentration of corporate ownership in media in North America. It is essential that CITR be your alternative voice in this environment.
Where the hell are you? Let's get some phone calls.
To pledge your support, phone 604-822-8648. CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
What about you people in labor? Come on, every Friday night we've been sponsoring a wobbly hour. We've been having old weird wobbly guys who were with the IWW back in the 20s and stuff. Let's back us up. We're in the same boat. 555-2150. It's us against the world. Let's go. Let's beat the world tonight. Come on, sheet metal people. Where are you? Okay, St. Mark's for girls. I'll give a kiss to every girl from St. Mark's that calls, pledges some money. Come on.
To pledge your support, phone 604-822-8648. CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. And, Coach, you made me feel bad just now. Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC Thunderbird men's basketball, men's hockey, I'm sorry, with us. Coach, you just made me feel bad.
Why is that?
Well, you're driving your kids in the car, correct? They're in the back there? And I heard you tell them they have to be quiet, so you have to do this interview?
I don't want to spoil your show.
Oh, but kids come first here, Coach.
Well, of course. I'm going to park the car and talk to you and discuss what's happening with our hockey team.
There you go. You're going to multitask here.
I am.
I love it.
I gave them some video games.
Okay. I feel better. So they're entertained.
They're okay for a few minutes.
Okay. With us right now, Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Coach, you got a win on Saturday. Snapped a 7-game losing streak. You got the 4-3 shootout win versus Lethbridge at home. Coach, first off, congratulations on the win, but, I mean, that's a rough 7-game losing streak, hey?
It was a really rough 7-game losing streak. It was rough on everybody. It was rough on the players. It was rough on everybody. Losing is very contagious, and we found a way to lose all 7 games. And for a big period of those games, we played pretty good for 40 minutes or 45 minutes, and then we found a way to lose. And the big thing is on Saturday, we found a way to win. And it didn't matter how, as long as we won and got 2 points.
Interesting move you guys made in the Saturday win there, Coach. Francois Tou has played every game for you guys coming in. You go with a different goalie, first start in CIS, Jordan White. He gets a 4-3 shootout win.
Well, you know, it was just time. We decided that, Jordan needs the opportunity. We pulled Frankie 3 of the last 5 games prior to that. And to give Jordan the opportunity, you know, he deserves it. He's been working hard. And at the end, it was the right decision. We got the 2 points, and he was stellar, and he was really good in the shootout as well. So kudos to him, and he got us 2 points.
Frankie Tuad had played every game, started every game for you guys coming into that one. And, Coach, started the year 3-0-1, then you lost the 7 straight. Obviously, as you said, losing is contagious. You have snapped out of that losing streak now, but you know, can you pinpoint it? Because, I mean, one thing was, and I saw those 2 games, you beat a very good Manitoba team. You got 2 wins at home to make your record 3-0-1 on the season, and then you go off and lose 7 straight. What did you see? Can you put a finger on it? What happened, Coach?
Timely goaltending and timely scoring. We didn't get either one. Against Manitoba, we got good goaltending. Even in Regina the weekend before, we got good goaltending and scored goals. And then all of a sudden we ran into a dry spell as far as goal scoring in our power play went really dry. And we didn't get the timely saves, as many as we did the previous weekend against Regina and Manitoba, and that was the difference. And when you don't have those 2 things, it makes it difficult. And we are only averaging for those 7 games about 2 goals for, and that's not enough to win hockey games. And that was the biggest difference. And we feel that we've worked on these things. We've shored them up against Lethbridge, even though we lost 5-4 on Friday night. You know, we did score 4 goals, and we played pretty hard and came down to last shot. But, you know, we just have to get better, and we need better goaltending, and we got to score more goals for our goalies to give us a chance to win.
Tell us about the play of some players, Coach. Your 2 leading scorers this year, the newcomer from the Western Hockey League, of course, former Spokane Chief Justin McCray, and Brandon Campos leading your team with 11 points in 12 games. Are those guys playing well, or is this a case where really everybody sort of let it slip in those 7 losses?
Well, I think it was a combination of both. I think everybody slipped, you know, for a good period of time. But I think if there's a bright spot during those 7 games is the fact that that line continued to at least score a goal a game. And we depend on that line to produce for us. We depend on Brandon, and we depend on Justin to produce for us, win faceoffs, and score power play goals. And we had to make some minor adjustments because, you know, Campos and McCray weren't playing together. And out of necessity, to try to find more scoring, we put them together, and they've been pretty good with Jeff Lynch on the left side, and they're going to keep playing together. And we need our best players to be our best players if we're going to have any kind of success.
So that's one thing you're telling me at the start of the year, Coach. You sort of had your 4 lines. You had your first 2 lines were your scoring lines, then you had your checking line, and your 4th line was even contributing. That really stopped. You sort of lost the continuity there with your 4 lines, eh?
You know what we did? We stopped. Defensemen stopped getting points. And it was basically Campos' line with McRae that were getting any kind of offensive production. And against Lethbridge, you know, you had guys like Matt Pepe, Matthew Schneider, Ryan Hamilton, Craig Lineker all contributing. And that's the big difference. If you get secondary scoring, you give yourself a chance to win. And in that seven-game losing streak, we had zero secondary scoring. And if we find that balance of getting our third and fourth lines to contribute, then we'll be better.
Coach, let's get into this weekend games. And, you know, one thing I love following Canada West hockey, every game's a big one for you guys fighting for that playoff spot. And it's even harder to make it this year. In the past, six of the seven teams have made it. This year, that has changed. Only four of the seven teams make the playoffs. Alberta running away with it in first. Manitoba, a very solid second place with 20 points in 14 games. Then it tightens up. Saskatchewan, 15 points. Calgary, 14 games, 14 points. Lethbridge, 14 games, 10 points. You guys, 12 games, 9 points. Regina, 12 games, 8 points. And you play the team in fourth place. Back-to-back weekends now. Four straight games. You got a home-and-home with Calgary. You travel to Calgary this weekend. You will host them next weekend. Huge games coming up in these next four, Coach. Tell us about the matchup, you guys and the University of Calgary. You're about to play them four straight times.
Well, if you look at the goals for and against and our plus-minus goal differential, we're fairly even. Power play, PK, we're fairly even. They have some good balance scoring. They have two really good lines. They've been rotating their goaltending a little bit. You know, we feel confident. You know, last year we knocked these guys out the last regular season games. We had to go in there a sweep, and we did that. So we feel confident going into the big barn in Calgary, and they realize that our players realize something we've talked about is, you know, basically for us, this is it. You know, we've kind of put ourselves behind the eight ball, and we have a chance to climb out of it before the Christmas break and really have something to look forward to after Christmas. And these are playoff games for us. And it's do or die for us, and that's the way we're looking at it.
What do you figure you got to pick up in these next four games, Coach? What's the number?
Well, you know, if we, you know, you definitely want to pick up 8 points. There's no question. And they're a really good hockey team. And if, you know, we have to minimal pick up at least 6 out of 8 points. But we're taking it a game a day and go through the process and just making sure that we're doing little things right and not so much focus on Calgary, but focus on the things that we need to do to be successful.
Yeah, looking at Calgary, their leading scorer, Reed Jorgensen, he's got 11 points in 12 games this year, so you can
yeah,
see.
Yeah, you know, the top four or five players are all fairly similar as far as points and goal-wise, and the two teams, you know, match fairly evenly, and it's going to be interesting to see.
Awesome. Milan Dragicevic, head coach, UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Big couple weeks coming up. You travel to Calgary, then you host them, Coach. Four teams make the playoffs. They're currently sitting in fourth. You trail them by 5 points. So best of luck in the next couple weeks, Coach. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, Daryl. Take care.
All right. That was Milan Dragicevic, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird men's hockey team. Yeah, they got off to such a good start this year. And as you said, they just... I mean, they're 3-0-1. Next thing you know, they're 3-7-1. That's bad. Now they're 4-7-1, so they did end that losing streak. Big games coming up with the University of Calgary. UBC, they've played 12 games this year, so after these four versus Calgary, that puts them at 16. It's only a 28-game season, and you heard Coach say it. If you follow UBC Thunderbird men's hockey, they need 6 points. In those four Calgary games. That is a number they got to get. And I actually made a mistake in my addition here. Saskatchewan's in third place with 15 points in 14 games. Calgary is in fourth place with 14 points in 12 games. I just mixed the games played between Saskatchewan and Calgary. So UBC 5 points behind Calgary, who's in fourth, and they've played the same number of games. UBC does have 2 games in hand on Saskatchewan, who leads them by 6 points. So anyways, don't know if that made sense over the radio that quickly, but UBC is going to have to catch at least one of those teams to make the playoffs, and then they still got Lethbridge and Regina. They're in a fight with those guys for 5th and 6th and 7th right now. All right, we're going to keep things moving. You're listening to Wiener's Barbecue here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Once again, this is our CITR funding drive, 2-week spectacular. Somebody donated. Thank you. Very much appreciated. We need your help. We are a student volunteer radio station. You know, and we rely on listeners just like you. We don't rely, but we need your help. And, you know, we got lots of great prizes to give out to all of you donators here today. And our staff working on the phones will tell you what's up. You know, I recommend the umbrella. You spend $60, you're going to get one of these really cool CITR Friends card, which gets you lots of stuff around town. And you get an umbrella. And, you know, we live in Vancouver. And you need an umbrella in the city. I've had times in Vancouver, and I'm a summer guy. I hate the winter. I hate the fall. And I'm despising that winter's coming up. I'm scared. I'm frightened. But we live here. And when I'm older, hopefully I can find my way. You know, I like Canada, but just get me to California for those cold months. I mean, I don't like it here. Anyways, we do live here, and that's a fact. I live here, and you need an umbrella. And what better way to get an umbrella than a CITR umbrella through our funding drive? Not only will you be getting an umbrella, and it comes with this really cool case, okay? I recommend the umbrella. You'll also be helping us out. You'll get an umbrella, which we know. We know it's going to, it might be raining right now. I don't have an umbrella here today. I'm in trouble if it's raining. Anyways, give us a call up at 822-8648, 822-8648. All donations are welcome. All donations are welcome. But the one I recommend is that $60 bid where you're going to get the umbrella. When it's raining, you need an umbrella. And we are offering you an umbrella for a $60 donation with a case. And it says CITR on the umbrella. Come on, as Peter Griffin said, come on. Remember that Family Guy? I'm hoping to find somebody. I'm texting friends. I want to talk Curb Your Enthusiasm here today. Did you see the finale? Did you see it? If you did, call me up during the break. And I'll find time for you at the end of the show to talk about it, if you want to do that. We're going to go to break. We're going to talk UBC volleyball. Doug Reimer, the head coach of the women's team, will be with us. And what's great with Coach Reimer is he goes to see movies with his daughter. They go see that animated crap. We'll find out if he sees any good family movies. So not only will we be talking UBC women's volleyball, we'll be talking family movies. Come on. Buy an umbrella. Buy an umbrella. I shouldn't do that. Yeah, the voice thing. I had the Tamiflu antibiotic last week. I don't think I had the swine flu, but I had a flu. I had a fever there. I had a I had a fever. I had a little vomiting going on, barfing, if you will. That was also, barf was John Candy's name in Spaceballs, remember? And I felt like crap, really, for about 12 days, about 9 days. Where am I going with this? Nowhere. So we're going to... All right, we got to move on. I'm just saying, I had the thing, but I don't think I had the swine flu. I would like to get this in, actually, just before we go to break. The UBC Thunderbird women's hockey team had a home game last weekend versus the... Hope I got this pronounced right. From Japan, a professional team, I believe I read, from Japan. How fun is this? They beat 3-2 in a shootout the Saibu Princess Rabbits from Japan. There you go. I wish I knew where I was going with the flu story. See, I'd already talked about it. Say 822-8648. That is our funding drive number. 822-864. Oh, I think my point was I had I'm pretty sure I did not have that swine flu thing, but somebody I knew's wife had it, and I have something called Crohn's disease. I've had some flu. It's a stomach thing, but I've had flus in my life, and I don't think I put the flu I had last week in the top 5 bad flus I've ever had. I was telling these guys before I went on the air, I can't do it on the air, a flu story I had, but we'll leave that for another day. It's a little gross. Curb Your Enthusiasm season finale. If you'd like to talk about it on air with me, give us a call up 822-2487, 822-2487, and we'll talk about it just before the show ends. Mike with Fletcher Head's coming into studio. He's going to be on with me for the last 5 minutes, but I was beaming after watching Curb, I tell you that much. All right, we're going to take a break. Doug Reimer, head coach of the UBC Thunder women's volleyball team, will be with us. They are 8-0 to start the year. They've played 27 sets in their 8 matches. They are 24-3 in those games. We'll also update you on the UBC Thunder women's volleyball team. All right, everybody. We're going to take a quick break here on 101.9 FM, CITR Radio, Vancouver, Canada. Once again, this is our funding drive day. 822-8648. 822-8648 is the number. We ask you once a year for donations. We are, of course, a volunteer-based radio station. And just once a year, we're going to ask you for this, folks. Just give us a call up, 822-8648. Oh, I think the point... I wonder if the point of my flu story was get the umbrella to avoid the flu. Maybe that's what it was. $60 donation. You get a CITR Friends card and an umbrella. And I am so high on this umbrella. I think you should go for it. Okay, I better take a break. All right, you are listening to 101.9 FM.
Okay, I'm not playing any more music for anybody, and that includes myself. Until somebody calls and pledges some money so that our station does not have to go off the air.
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Your voice, your frequency. Programming at CITR is controlled by those who produce it and those who listen to it. Vancouver has the highest concentration of corporate ownership in media in North America. It is essential that CITR be your alternative voice in this environment.
Where the hell are you? Let's get some phone calls.
To pledge your support, phone 604-822-8648. CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
What about you people in labor? Come on, every Friday night we've been sponsoring a wobbly hour. We've been having old weird wobbly guys who were with the IWW back in the 20s and stuff. Let's back us up. We're in the same boat. 555-2150. It's us against the world. Let's go. Let's beat the world tonight. Come on, sheet metal people. Where are you? Okay, St. Mark's for girls. I'll give a kiss to every girl from St. Mark's that calls, pledges some money. Come on.
To pledge your support, phone 604-822-8648. CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
That was the end. I got it wrong. I apologize for that. Coach, you with us on the line right now, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. Coach, do you watch the show Dexter? Do you watch that?
Never seen that, no.
You've heard of it, though.
Barely. No, I haven't. Do I get a skill testing question on the show?
Well, no, I meant to play the opening theme song. I played the closing credits there. It's on Showtime, Sundays, 9 o'clock.
I guess I'm reviewing game film.
With us right now, Doug Reimer, head coach at UBC Thunder women's volleyball team. Now, Coach, before we get into your team, one thing you are good at in pop culture, and you're able to call the Oscar winner every year, is best animation film.
Right.
You've been very good at that, I believe, 2 years in a row. The summer has passed. Lots of good. I mean, these cartoon movies are getting quite crazy, Coach. What did you see with your daughter? What did you see?
Saw Up.
You saw Up?
Yes.
See? You're always on top of it.
Yeah.
What'd you think of Up?
I loved Up.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go.
You didn't?
I haven't seen it,
okay.
Actually.
Okay, nope. Highly recommended.
Was that was Ed Asner the voice? Was that one?
Ed Asner?
I think so.
I don't know. Oh. I forget.
You forget, eh? So you never saw Monsters versus Aliens? Or?
Nope. Sorry.
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs was another one.
I wanted to see that one.
Really, hey?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. It was Ed Asner. Remember Ed Asner?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm old. Grant.
There you go. Was he in the Mary Tyler Moore, or am I off here? He was, hey?
Yeah.
Okay, I can quit going through IMDb during the interview. With us right now, the head coach of the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team, a supporter. And he recommends the movie Up, Doug Reimer. Coach, great start for your team. 8-0 on the season. You just swept Thompson Rivers 3-0, 3-0 on the weekend. And here's the stat I love with you guys, Coach. You have played 26 sets this year, and you have won 24 of those 26. The only two sets you lost was Halloween, which must have been a thriller, Coach, at Trinity Western on Halloween. You had a five-setter, and you won the fifth set 15-13, so that must have been a great win for you guys. The start for your team, though, when you've played 26 sets and you've won 24 of them, you have to be happy with that.
Absolutely. You know, and you know, to be honest, we have a lot. We have our toughest matches second half, but still, when you got to go, you know, two nights in a row and teams are gunning for you, and to be able to push through, like especially last weekend, I thought we executed well both nights, really good energy, and to do that back to back nights is, you know, that's a good sign, you know, for our group and the progress.
Coach, your program has had such success over the years. How does this team match up against other teams you've had at this point of the year? I mean, it just seems, you know, you've got your national titles. That was a big, you know, weight on your team's shoulders. That's not there anymore. You've won your championship. So is it a more confident group because you don't have that languishing? Are you able to play freer? I mean, that's my question with your team.
Yeah, that is an excellent question. I'm sure I would be the first coach to say every year is different. You know, each team's got its own character. And I would say right now we have to find the balance between maintaining the high expectations and not putting too much pressure on ourselves, feeling like, you know, that we have to win 3-0 every night, you know. And there is, I'd say the character of this group is, you know, one of more confidence, and one that I'm happy to report remains hungry to, you know, sort of keep that winning habit going.
Liz Cordonnier, she's been a star for you guys. She is healthy this year, leading your team in many statistical categories. How's she doing?
You've captured that. One of the keys for Liz is to stay healthy, because she's really, you know, really struggled last year in that regard. And, you know, I'd say especially last weekend, you know, she played the best volleyball I've seen her play in a long, long time. And, you know, I think Liz is in her final year of eligibility, and sometimes that's a big, you know, that sometimes creeps up on athletes. And so I think she's pretty motivated to do a good job, just not just for herself, but for the group as a whole. So very pleased with, you know, her performance date, and want to keep her kind of fresh and sort of hungry moving forward here.
Canada West Conference, this has always been such a competitive conference in women's volleyball. Is it the same this year? I mean, you mentioned to me right off the top there that, you know, you've got some tough games coming up in the second half of the season. So the competitiveness in the Canada West Women's Conference still the same as it's been?
Yeah, there's I think that there's a couple of traditional powers that are maybe down a little bit, and a couple of other teams that are making a bit of a rise. So there may be more of a, you know, in a lot of years there's been a close to a consensus top three, top four. And I'm not sure, you know, on any given weekend here, if you look at some of the other results, there's a lot of, you know, Friday, Saturday night splits. So I think it extends to 7-8 teams, 9, you know, you see teams like Thompson Rivers and even SFU narrowly losing in five sets to Alberta that you wouldn't normally ever see, for example. And I think Alberta is a little less experienced, and therefore we're going to have nights like that.
So Alberta 8-2, you guys are 8-0 to start the year. You're in first place. You mentioned Alberta barely beat SFU. That's the team you're going to be playing this season, your last game before the Christmas break. Break it down, UBC and the University of SFU. I hope I said that, SFU.
Yep.
Tell us about only one game on the weekend. Tell us about your matchup versus SFU.
Yeah, we play Friday night at 7 o'clock. And
At home.
Yep. Friendly confines. And, you know, I think SFU's been playing better in the last couple of weeks, without a doubt, narrowly losing some matches. So I'm sure they're hungry to get over, you know, that hurdle. They split with Saskatchewan last weekend. They have a number of experienced players, and, you know, what you typically find with some of these in-province battles is because the players, they've often played with each other at various club and provincial teams, they know each other better, and there's certain a little different dynamic sometimes, you know, can be a team like SFU can maybe have a better feel for us and is better. So, you know, really we can just control our side, and that's one thing I think, back to your earlier question about the character of this group, the thing we're really focusing on is kind of the let's do what we do well because that should be good enough and keep our focus in that regard.
Is that another thing, though, Coach, you know, playing a team like SFU, you know, you're 8-0, but they're 1-7, but you mentioned they know each other so well that almost as coaches, the game's a little bit out of your hands a little more because you could have some players who, as you've said, have played so much against each other, they might know quirks about your players more than all the other teams do, and you know, they might have more, like, yeah, it's Liz Cordonia, but I know I've dug it out of her a couple times already, and I know she's going to go there. So the players almost have more control in these games, sort of?
Yeah, and they know each other, so you'll find, you know, several of our players and some of their players played together this past summer on the Canada Games team that competed, you know, at the end of August. So they spent a whole summer together in the gym, so they might, this would be one of the teams, they'll know some things more than I will, just from
being with each
other day in and day out, right? And I'm sure that, you know, that's the same on both sides of the net.
Ah, so as a coach, do you let the players play then, or you kind of ease off this game a bit?
No. I think the preparation stays the same.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, just you're trying to carry the forward. One of the things a little different this week, fed the national team coach in town Monday, Tuesday, so we really will get, and he led training, so we get down to the business of preparation more Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay. No, but my question is, you sort of let the players have more input than, say, other weeks?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's what I meant, Coach.
There you go.
That's what I meant. Doug Reimer, head coach, UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. What a start for you guys in this 09-10 season, Coach. 8-0 to start the year. You've played 26 sets. You've won 24 of them. That pretty much sums up your start right there. Best of luck against SFU at home on Friday night, Coach, and you win that game. Oh, on Thursday night. I'm sorry, Coach.
Friday night.
Oh, I'm Friday night. See, there's, yeah, it's all, because there's games on Sunday on the schedule. I'm sorry, Coach. And best of luck on that one on Friday, and I'm sure it'd be nice to go into the break 9-0, hey?
Absolutely. That's the goal.
Great. Thanks for doing this, Coach. Very much appreciate it.
Pleasure to talk to you.
All right. That was Doug Reimer, head coach of the UBC Thunderbird women's volleyball team. 8-0 to start the year. The UBC men's volleyball team, they're done before the Christmas break, and they are off to a very rough start on the season. 1-7 to start the year. So the UBC Thunderbird men's volleyball team in big trouble to make the playoffs. Seven teams make the playoffs, and they are currently 3 wins behind Thompson Rivers for that 7th place spot, and they've got 10 games to go. So a tough go the rest of the way for the UBC Thunderbird men's volleyball team. Well, we're pretty much done with guests now. It's like it's almost like I've done my homework. Now I can go out and play. In these next 6 minutes, I've done all my interviews.
That's good.
I've done them all, so I've done all the stuff on all the teams. So you know, it's our funding drive. I'll do 2 minutes of funding drive. Then we'll have fun. All right.
Okay.
Then we'll. 822-8648 is the phone number here. Give us a call up. This is the one time a year we do the funding drive. And our goal this year is to make $24,000,000. $24,000. We're currently at $16,607.37. There was a donation during my show. I don't know if it was for my show, but whoever it was, thank you so much. I wasn't here. You can put the headset on. Yeah, we've done our funding drive pitch. 822-864. What I'm recommending is people call up, donate the $60. You get the CITR friends card, and you get the umbrella.
I like the umbrellas.
Did you get one? Or
I haven't got one yet.
I think I'm going to buy an umbrella.
I'm definitely going to buy one.
I think I'm going to buy an umbrella. I mean, it comes in that little case, or it's got a little hole. Not a case, but goes over the umbrella. What would you describe it as? I'm doing a bad job at best here.
An umbrella bag?
An umbrella. Sure. We'll go with that. And keeps the rain off.
Definitely. Because in this city, you need one.
You do need one in this. There's no question about it.
See, I take transit to work, so I definitely need an umbrella.
For the walk to and to from walk the transit.
Truck from the train to the work, back.
Even if you drive, you need an umbrella.
You should.
Yeah.
And they're quite sharp looking, too.
They are cool looking. Yeah. So when I get out of here, I'm going 5 minutes from now, I'm going to own an umbrella.
All right.
I am excited. I was off last week, had the Tammy flu antibiotic in me. That's a good reason. Let me ask you this. Did you get vaccinated?
No.
Okay. If I came in and I go, Mike, I don't think I got the swine flu, but you would have seen me. I had the flu and I'm on the antibiotic for the swine flu. Would you have wanted me here? Breathing and talking into this microphone.
I'm not worried about germs at all.
Oh, you're not? Good for you.
I'm in the sanitation business. I have more germs around me than anybody.
You scare me.
See? You're lucky I come in after you. You get a whole week.
The weekend before, I was away for a wedding. The weekend before that, I went and saw my band Fish play.
Yes.
I went to a 3-day Halloween show in Indio, California. Just north of Palm Springs. My grandparents lived there, had to go for a wedding. Anyways, it worked out very well. The shows were spectacular. I know you really wanted to know.
I just heard that you were going there.
You heard I was going there. What did they say? What did the guys tell you?
I asked where you were, and they said, well, he's probably on the East Coast following fish around or
West
something.
West Coast.
Was it the West Coast?
West Coast.
They said you were going to a wedding on the East Coast.
West Coast. Everything was in the same area. The wedding and the concert were in the same area. Same city, pretty much.
Yeah, they didn't know what they were talking about.
I stayed at the same place. It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. I'm going to be playing because the way they did the Halloween show is each year on Halloween, they haven't done a show for 11 years. They play an album and they do 3 sets. And the second set, they play an album of a band cover to cover. They play the whole album of a band.
Which band? Do they just pick
a
band?
It's different. You know, they've done the White Album by the Beatles, okay. Who, Quadrophenia, Talking Heads, Velvet Underground. They did a Pink Floyd album once, but not during a Halloween, Dark Side of the Moon. They did Rolling Stones' Exile on Main Street. Do you know that one?
Not really.
Well, I'm going to be playing it. That's what I decided to do. It's 18 songs. I think I'm going to open my show with it for 18 weeks.
Okay, that's cool.
What do you think?
Do it.
All right. I'm not going to check with Bryce. I'll check with you. I like that.
I fully support it.
I like it. The 4:30 to 8 o'clock guys got to stick together on Tuesdays. How's your TV watching? Are you doing anything or am I on my own talking here?
I watch a lot of probably stuff that you don't watch. Like what I'm going home tonight to watch V.
Oh, V. Yeah.
I started watching it simply because it was filmed in Vancouver.
Right.
So I started
trying to... Takes place in New York in the show, right?
Basically, yes.
Let's film in Vancouver.
Yeah, but you can see a Vancouver landmark and then the New York City skyline behind it.
Like BC Place?
Kind Something of? Like that. You know they're in Vancouver, but they put digitally behind it, they put New York City.
Really?
In some places.
What are they? They're doing like 4 episodes or 6 episodes this year, and then they're kind of stopping. Is that what they're doing?
I don't know, because this would be the 4th or 5th one
it's
tonight.
It's running out. They're only doing a few, I thought. Yeah, no, I'm still watching Californication. It's not that great, but I watch it. Good. If you like women, naked women, it's a good show to watch. Hey.
There you go. Yeah.
Susan Sarandon's daughter is in it. She's gorgeous.
I've never seen
you
her.
You see her topless. It's David Duchovny.
Yeah.
The other show, Dexter.
Don't watch that either.
Very good season. Getting a little weird. I like it. John Lithgow sort of like the addition this year. He's like the main guy. The other show, I watch a lot of them on demand. Zach Galifianakis, Ted Danson, Jason Schwartzman, Bored to Death. No?
Never seen
it. On HBO, right after Curb Your Enthusiasm. Recommend it.
I almost started watching it the other night. They had like 6 or 7 in a row.
Yeah.
With Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, there was like 6
well,
or 7 in
yeah,
a row.
Yeah, because it was the season finale, maybe the series finale on Sunday. And I'm just going to take this last minute here. I was beaming from ear to ear after Curb on Sunday. It was because they brought the Seinfeld cast in.
Okay.
And they did their, like, they're never going to do a Seinfeld reunion show, but they did it in relation to the Curb Your Enthusiasm show. And they actually, part of the show was they were shooting the Seinfeld reunion. And you got to see them, in the context of Curb, act out Seinfeld scenes in a reunion show format. But it wasn't really a reunion show.
That's cool.
It was actually quite incredible. Jerry Seinfeld was amazing. And the best episode was the second to last one, where I don't even want to describe it, but they did it. The Michael Richards.
The comments from last year, yeah.
They did it in a way that was part of me even wonders that they actually did this show for him so he could approach it in the way they did, and now he can move on.
That's good.
I mean, I can't even describe it because it's not going to sound right, and especially you don't even know the show. But
yeah.
Anyways, I know I got a little, but, you know, it was cool. All right, that's it, Mike. I'm done. 822-8648, 822-8648. Call us up and pledge. But, I guess we're almost at 6. So if they do it in the next 30 seconds, it goes under my show.
But I do have some sports-related gift up for grabs. Oh. I'm giving away 2 tickets to the Canuck game on Thursday. The season tickets I have, I'm going to put in the pot. First caller donates $150 to my show, gets the 2 tickets. They're worth over $100 a piece. So you're saving $50 right there just by donating to CITR.
Going to the Canucks game on Thursday, and you got to understand, these tickets are, the face value is over $100 each?
Yes.
So if you were to put those, say, on Craigslist.
Well, like, over $200.
Well, they'd be at least $150 per se on Craigslist. So somebody who's looking to go to that game, you'd basically be getting tickets half price.
Pretty close.
In a way, and your money wouldn't be going into some guy's pocket.
Nope. They'd be going to the station here at CITR.
Well done there, Michael.
So, first caller, $150 to the Flex Your Head show and the CITR Fun Drive, gets 2 tickets to the Canucks versus LA on Thursday. You just got to come down and pick up the tickets before Thursday because we'll be here at the station waiting for you.
Basically, if you want to go to the game, with all due respect, if they hate our station and they just happen to be tuning in,
yeah,
that's a deal.
Exactly.
That's a deal.
You
can't pass this up. The money, the money is not going into some scalper's pocket.
Nope.
It's going to a good cause.
Yeah, it's going to the station and help our fund drive total here.
Well done, Michael.
There you go.
Flex Your Head coming up right now. I'd like to thank all my guests, Dan Elliott, Vern Knopp, Milan Dragicevic, and Doug Reimer. And I'd like to thank, last week, I took 10 times over 5 days. I don't think I had the swine flu, but whatever flu I had, Tammy flu, you're a good antibiotic. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody.
Okay, I'm not playing any more music for anybody, and that includes myself, until somebody calls and pledges some money so that our station does not have to go off the air.
Why should people support CITR? Lots of unique music, independent news, and arts programming that isn't heard anywhere else but here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Call 604-822-8648 to pledge your support.
I mean, why should I bother to play records for you if you're not even willing to call up and pledge a couple of dollars? A couple of dollars. It's not that much money. We've been playing what you want, but we have to have your money. We can't make it without you. We played Margot Hemingway's new album. We debuted it, premiered it on this station. We're the only station in the whole tri-state area to play the Fish Cheer all the way through. We play a lot of old stuff. We play a lot of Cher stuff before she sold out. We play a lot of crap, but that's what you want, you know?
Call 604-822-8648 to pledge your support.
don't know.
Yeah, good evening. Welcome to the Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM. I am your host, Mr. Steeston Mike, and I'm here until 8 o'clock playing punk and hardcore for you. We're doing our special fun drive show once again. We're 4 years into this now, and we got $16,607 going on right now. That is amazing. We got a couple more days left, and then the fun drive ends on Thursday at 6 o'clock, and there's a big after show party at the Wise Hall on Friday with the Evaporators and White Lung, and just a whole bunch of great stuff going on. So hopefully people can make it up for that as well. But today we're all about cover tunes and asking you for your money. We need donations to help with the station and all kinds of upgrades around here. And the number to call is 822-8648, or go by citr.ca/donate, and you can donate online as well. We do have a few gift prizes kicking around the station for you. I've got my mix CDs still going on. I also got Vancouver Canuck tickets for this Thursday against the Los Angeles Kings. The first person that donates $150, mentions my show, will walk away with them. All they got to do is come in and pick them up before Thursday, which is game time. So $150 for these tickets. They're upper level, third row, right between center ice and the blue line. They're great seats. So they're more than $150 for the pair.